When I was growing up, the decorative art in our home was mostly visual. There were few words on things except the bookshelves, which of course you'd see lots of words on the books, but the only other place you'd see words in artistic expression in my house were the small needle-pointed decorations that my grandmother made. They'd say things like, the dishwasher is clean or dirty, and a place for everything and everything in its place. There were also a number of golf puns, I think, but I don't recall the specifics. So it was of particular note when my mother got a small framed piece that said, there are two things we should give our children. One is roots and the other wings. I've always remembered this paradoxical statement. We hear similar words in our beloved hymn, roots hold me close, wings set me free. They are, of course, metaphors, but the two images are so very different. Roots, we think of green things, mostly trees, planted in one place, needing to rely on wind, fate, and other creatures to propagate their seeds. Roots that hold them close to the earth, nourish them, and take in water. And for human beings, our roots lie in the stories that tell us who we are, the sense memories that recall our best and worst experiences, the ancestral connections broken or sustained. Wings, on the other hand, bring to mind birds, planes, bumblebees, butterflies. Wings are about movement, agency, travel, and lightness. They are about breaking free, finding our own way, creating our own story. How can we possibly have both? That's the beauty of metaphor, I suppose, a literary trope which allows us to pick up one idea when it suits and then shift into a different one when that one works better. I rely a lot on metaphor for my own process of meaning making. I make regularly during the year, I create collages. You might call them vision boards that focus on the ideas and energies that I want to bring with me into the new year, or sometimes on my birthday, sometimes on solstice, sometimes just when I feel like it. So I have files and files and files and files of images. We just moved, so I'm aware of how much stuff I have. I've collected over the years. Some I've saved for over a decade, usually because I was drawn to the image, not because I had something that I knew I was going to use it for. So as I work on a collage, I incorporate these new and old images and, you know, sort of shift them around. And now that we have smartphones, once I get what I think I like, I take a picture and then I move stuff around some more. So that process often juxtaposes pictures images that you wouldn't necessarily put together. So I notice that, and I'm constantly reminded of the sometimes contradictory meanings of metaphor. Interpreting these metaphors in the context of my own life's story is a core part of my own practice of meaning making. And I'm often surprised by what I pull together. We see this type of juxtaposition in the roots and wings language. For example, personally, I tend to gravitate toward those soaring metaphors. I have long-standing love for hawks and blue jays in particular, and the messages they continue to send to me over decades of my life. At the same time, I'm drawn to the transformative process of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, and the hives and honey and pollination of bees. And yet, when I am at my most vulnerable, my most nervous, I unconsciously call forth a time-lapse video I once saw of a tree's root system growing into the earth. I think it was originally from children's programming on public TV. But one day, as an adult, I was asked in a guided meditation to imagine my own root system. And that's what I saw, these roots that would have developed over months, years even, all in a few seconds going into the earth and taking root. It is so deeply ingrained in my psyche that I use it to calm and center myself in moments of stress. And I'm here to tell you that it also works for road rage. Roots and wings. As Unitarian Universalists, we are the heirs to a rich history. Our roots, some of which we learned about last week, and our faith as it stands today gives us wings to explore the breadth and depth of our own time and place, the multivalent strands of history and theology that draw us together in this time and in this place. Last week, I spoke in considerable depth about the concept of congregational polity and why it is central to who we are. The kernel of knowledge that I hope you will all bring forward from that sermon is this one, and it should be on the website if you weren't here and you'd like to read it or listen to it. The founders of the Dedham congregation chose to be a covenantal faith rather than a creedal faith, even though their beliefs at the time were so similar that they could easily have chosen to create a creed instead of a covenant. That kernel is absolutely essential to who we are today, a free faith. The decision those settlers in Dedham made centuries ago set the stage for us to exist in the way we do today. One of our second reading this morning was evocative words from John O'Donohue, a blessing for when trust has been broken. The words call to mind a dramatic breaking, the pain of disappointment, and the slow move through to healing. Torn ground, he says, is ideal for seed. And so it is in our life together. More often than not, we find that trust that is broken does not come in a spectacular event, but in tiny cracks and missteps. As a community bound together by our relationships, when we do break each other's trust, we must work together to come back into relationship, to come back into covenant, to repair the cracks we cause. A shared covenant is a set of promises we will make to one another about how we choose to be in relationship within this fellowship. Sometimes living in covenant feels like striving toward an impossible ideal. It's often messy. We fall down, we hurt each other's feelings, we make mistakes, and yet we continue again and again and again to return to our highest ideal. We choose to be faithful, to be loyal, to remain in relationship even when it feels impossible, even when we are uncertain, hurt, or lonely. We choose to remain in relationship because life's venture is important, and we understand that we are that venture. Today, in Greenville, and in every other Unitarian Universalist congregation that exists, our individual beliefs vary vastly. We couldn't possibly create a true creed that would encompass all of what we each hold dear and believe. And so we rely on our relationships to hold us to our highest aspirations, even when we struggle to agree. Travel with me then from 1648 to 1946 and touch on another interpretation of our free faith. James Luther Adam is a well-known Unitarian theologian of the 20th century. He asks, as creatures fated to be free, as creatures who must make responsible decisions, what may we place our confidence in? What can we have faith in? What should we serve? Where is our confidence? What should we serve. In the sense that we each participate on a personal journey for meaning and theological understanding, our confidence resides in different places. And yet we choose to gather in community. And so we place our confidence in one another. We serve one another, and we serve the community around us. If we're honest, sometimes it is difficult to have faith in one another. It is difficult to experience that sense of confidence in one another. We are, after all, each a part of humanity, each struggling with our own journey, so often not reaching the ideals in which we believe. And so we muddle through together, trying our best to serve one another and the common good. I'd like to share a story as told by Mary Ludi, a UCC minister. She says, years ago, the Prime Minister of the Solomon Islands held an outdoor banquet on a soccer field for the visiting Archbishop of Canterbury. Between courses, they discussed this bloody civil war that had recently ended there. Suddenly, the Prime Minister turned to the Archbishop and said, "I want you to bless us. I need to say in public that we were responsible too, not just the people on the other islands. So I'll quiet the crowd," he said, "then I'll kneel down, and you can ask God to forgive us for what we contributed to the horrors." "There are moments in life," the Archbishop said later, "when you hear the gospel for the first time. Like when a politician says, 'We were all wrong. It wasn't just them, it was us too.' People hardly ever voluntarily accept a share of blame. Our default position is innocence. You did this, we didn't. Our intentions are good, yours are bad. Our suffering is terrible, yours can't compare. Our story is true, yours is a lie." Little changes until we stop telling the story of our innocence and their guilt. Things change when we tell the far more important story. Not yours or mine, not this island or that island, but the one shared human narrative of ignorance, myopia, fear, error, violence, trauma, and loss. It wasn't just them, it was us too. And so it is for us as Unitarian Universalists. We begin by recognizing our interdependence, by making a commitment to our own community. Our next step is to seek out injustice and understand its cause. And finally, we must reach toward that ideal lifted up in the story of the Prime Minister and the Archbishop. The understanding that we each have a story that is valid and worth hearing. The understanding that claims of blame and innocence miss the point in our interdependent world. Claims of blame and innocence make us feel better, perhaps, but they also break our relationships. The work of covenant calls us to transcend these petty claims and reach toward one another across the divide. This is the greatest gift of Unitarian Universalism. Because of our identity as a pluralistic community, we understand on a visceral level that multiple experiences and many truths can exist in the same space. We can sit together in this sanctuary, and I guarantee you that what one of you believes is entirely impossible within the belief system of someone else, perhaps even the person sitting next to you. And that is the gift. There is room enough in our covenantal faith for multiple truths to exist. We live in this paradox every single day of our lives. And so we have something essential and life-giving to share with the world around us. It brings me back to the roots and wings imagery. We are at the same time reaching toward different goals. First, we support each other in this community, working to create strong relationships. Imagine our own future together with the leadership of the board and your own individual gifts. And second, we are working to reach outward. Remember the intent of the members of the Dedham Church. The Free Church was established with an explicit responsibility to both its own members and to the larger society. And we continue to work to be that bridge into the larger society. For us as Unitarian Universalists, our covenant calls us to remember that we are all in this together. Our historical roots tie us to a series of stories out of which we make meaning. Our covenant reminds us what we hold most dear. And the wings of our free faith lift us high enough to seek new frontiers of understanding and connection. May it be so. Amen and blessed be.